Let's pray, shall we? Father God, do you speak to us now through your Spirit, through your word. Open our eyes, set our hearts on fire for love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you do when you discover that Jesus knows all about you? When you realise that Jesus knows everything you have ever done, all the sordid little details, all the bad things you've said to people, all those misdeeds, even your thought life. When he knows all of your brokenness, all your failures. What do you do when you realise that Jesus knows all that about you and yet still comes stretching out the hand of friendship? More than that, when you consider that Jesus knows all about you, that can only mean that he is God, the Messiah, the King of the universe, the judge of humankind, and yet he doesn't come first of all in judgment, but comes saying, I want you to be my friend, to have a relationship with me. He offers living water, forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit long before he offers judgment. When you discover that, how do you react? This morning we're continuing to look at this beautiful story of the encounter between the Samaritan woman and Jesus. We started looking at it last week, and if you remember, it's the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day, and she picks up her water jar and she walks through the dry ground and she encounters Jesus at this well. Why does she go out in the middle of the day? Well, today's passage gives us a clue. Do follow it with me. It's on page 1067. If you take a look at verse 17, we discover, verse 18 rather, she has had five husbands and the man she is now with is not her husband. She is probably not a popular lady in her village. She's looked down upon. And so she comes out in the middle of the day when she can't be found by anyone. She sneaks with her water jar. Nobody can see me. Of course, Jesus does. And last week we saw how Jesus stunned her. He said, will you give me a drink of water? And she thought, how can this be? You're a Jewish man. I'm a Samaritan. We don't get on. And you're offering me? You're asking me to honour you by giving you some water? But what's probably also going through her mind is, okay, maybe he might show compassion to a Samaritan, but if he actually knew what I was like, there's no way he would want to speak to me. But what do we find? Jesus knows all about her. Every detail. And what does he do? He still offers her living water. He wants to say, let's talk. Yes, I do know all about you, and yet I still want to love you, and I want you to love me. And the woman is so taken aback. We'll read in a moment how she just had to go and tell others. I can't believe it. This man must be the Messiah. He knows everything I ever did. Only God can know that. Only the Messiah can know that. Come and find him. He still loves me. What this woman encounters is the outrageous, extravagant love of Jesus. And this is what Jesus is like. He's willing to stretch out his hand to anybody, no matter how far we've fallen, and say, let's put that behind us. Let's make a new start. It's the extravagant, reckless love of Jesus. And this woman's bowled over by it. How does one respond? The only word I can think of is worship. But what exactly is worship? We have this very interesting debate in verses 20 through to 26 about worship. What is true worship? And I think the thing is, just to step back for a moment, the default mode of religion for human beings is to think, well, I must do certain rituals, probably in a certain place, in order to try and please God. We think that's worship, don't we? So I must go to a place like a church building, or a sacred mountain, or a high place, and I'll do something there, and whatever ritual or activity I do, God will somehow be pleased with me. Now that can be helpful. Going into a quiet church building can be helpful. Going up a mountaintop and seeing the glory of creation can be helpful. But what does Jesus say? You don't have to worship on this mountain in Samaria anymore. In fact, you don't even have to worship in Jerusalem anymore, even though that's where the truth has come from. True worshippers can worship anywhere in spirit and truth. In fact, because God is spirit, he is everywhere, we should worship God all the time, in all places. And in fact, Jesus is saying, for all people, including Samaritans. And next week we'll see Jesus being described as the saviour of the world. All people, at all time, in all places, can worship. And we don't have to be in a church building. Back in the year 2000, Lisa and I had the great privilege of actually drinking water from this well, Joseph's Well. And we were just bowled over. Now, the thing about Israel, when you go there, it seems that if Jesus did anything in any place, if he stubbed his toe somewhere, they'd probably build a church over that place. It's really quite remarkable. So you go to Nazareth, and you're told, this is where the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, and they've built a big church. You go to Peter's house in Capernaum, where Jesus stayed, and you can see the ruins, and above it, on stilts, it's a church. And when you come to the well in Samaria, they've built a church over it. So we went into this church, a whole group of us, and there's this caretaker bloke here, looking a bit grumpy, and he kind of takes us to the well, and he is very kind. He then draws up some water, and the whole group of us, this is amazing, we're going to drink this water from the well that Jesus drank from. The Samaritan, from Joseph's well. We're happy, we can't believe it, we're overjoyed. People start laughing, and the caretaker looks and goes, shush, you're in church. We're thinking, but we're encountering the extravagant love of Jesus. We're full of joy at thinking we're drinking the water. We're reminded that he gives living water. We're happy, and you say, stop it. Why do human beings reduce worship into something so solemn it's miserable? It's good to be solemn sometimes. We'll be solemn on Maundy Thursday. But when somebody encounters the living water that Jesus offers, we should be filled with joy. Because true worship means encountering a person. It means encountering Jesus Christ, encountering the living water he gives, and we should just rejoice. And when we're transformed by the Holy Spirit, this living water, when we have eternal life, our life should just radiate transformation and happiness. This is true worship, encountering Jesus. Do you remember Luke chapter 7? There's the simple woman, and she has obviously received the forgiveness of Jesus, and she is full of adoration. So the scene is a Pharisee's house. Jesus is reclining at the table, they're having dinner, it's all very proper. They're probably holding knives and forks in the right proper hands. They probably didn't use knives and forks in those days, but you know, you get the scene. And it's all very good and proper, middle class. And this woman bursts in. She pours perfume over the head of Jesus. And she weeps out of joy. Her tears fall on the feet of Jesus. She falls onto her knees and wipes the tears, the wet feet, with her hair. And the Pharisee is grumpy. This woman bursts into my dinner party. If Jesus knew what sort of woman this is, he would have nothing to do with her. Default mode of religion. And Jesus says, no, I welcome sinners to come and rejoice. This woman has done me an honor. I welcome little children to make a noise and run to me. This is true worship. So often we forget that. Jesus was delighted with that sinful woman who had been forgiven and invited into a living relationship with Jesus. And she just wants to give Jesus all of her heart. That's true worship. So back to the question I opened with. When you discover what Jesus has done for you, and that he knows all about you and still wants to be in relationship with you and to forgive you, how do you respond? Well, how does this woman, the Samaritan woman, respond? There's a little detail that I found actually reading a book on revival which happened in Lowestoft 100 years ago. And somebody was preaching a sermon. He just brought out this detail and I just can't get it out of my mind. The detail is in verse 28. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see what I found." She left her water jar. This woman's purpose in going to the well was to get water into her water jar, to go home to drink water without being seen, and then she'd drink her water and her thirst would be satisfied until the next day and she had to go back again. But she leaves her water jar. And I think there's several reasons for this. The first reason, and I think this is the main reason John recorded it, it's no longer her priority. She's found something better. She's come to the well thinking, water, 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 and she's found Jesus, and Jesus says, have something better, living water. And I think, well, this water Jesus offers means she will never thirst again, and she's now discovered the real deal. But I think the water jar represents all her worldly worries, and she was going to carry them back with her. She's found something better and she's left it and gone away to worship in spirit and truth. She left her water jar. She's left her worries of this world behind. Jesus says, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you." That's true worship. She's found the kingdom of God. She's left the water jar, knowing that she will be provided for. But a second possible reason is she's so excited, and her true worship is seen in how she goes to tell others. If she had carried the water jar back to town, well, she would have taken a long time to get there, and she would have gone into her house and put it there. But she's left it behind because she now wants to go to town and witness about Jesus. It doesn't matter that they think she's an awful woman. She now knows that Jesus thinks she's fantastic. She doesn't care what anyone else thinks. She goes to them. All these people have looked down upon her and says, "I found good news. I found the Messiah. Come and see. He knows everything I've ever done, and yet he still loves me. The same can be true for you." It's quite staggering. She was sneaking out in the middle of the day, not wanting to be seen, but now she's gone to those very people who look down on her to share the good news. Her shame is cast aside. It's true worship to witness to others about Jesus. And she's not going to let her water jar delay her when she's got this good news. A third, maybe tenuous, reason why she left the water jar. Well, maybe she left it for Christ's own use. He'd ask her for a drink of water and she says, "No, here's the water, you have it." When people become Christians, often they'll find that they've been running after wealth all their lives, but now they say, "Do you know what? It's not that important to me anymore. Jesus, you have it. You can make better use of this than I." That's true worship. Giving over what was important to us to Jesus and trusting in his provision. Or a final reason why she may have left the water jar with Jesus Maybe it's a pledge that she's coming back. I mean, she's going to have to drink some water at some stage. So she goes off, leaving some property with Jesus, and comes back. And the reason I say that is because sometimes it seems that somebody might encounter Christ at an evangelistic event, and they're bowled over, but it doesn't last. It's as if they've picked up their water jar, taken it back home, put it in the corner of their house, and looked at it, and started worrying about it again, forgetting this offer of life-giving waters. The woman's not going to do that. She's going to keep coming back to Jesus day after day. The relationship with Jesus will continue. She hasn't finished with Jesus. She knows he is not finished with her. But too often we let other things crowd out Jesus and church. As we draw to a close, though, I want to just ask a question. What is our water jar? What do we need to leave behind with Jesus so that we can be free to worship in spirit and truth? Perhaps your water jar is something that is preventing you from completely surrendering to Jesus. You just feel you can't leave it there. You have to take it back with you. Perhaps it's something that's preventing you from telling others about Jesus. This is gold dust, the gospel. Why don't we tell others? Why don't we share the fact that they can escape the fires of hell and come into a living relationship with the Messiah and have eternal life? Jesus offers life-giving water. Or perhaps it's something that you feel you need to keep on consuming, as if what Jesus offers is not enough, that you can't let go of your wealth or whatever. Just remember, Jesus offers us a better type of water than what we have in our water jar. Seek first his kingdom. Everything else will be added to you. Too often we're preoccupied with things of this life. We're preoccupied with our own water jars. Let it go. What's so precious about it that it can't be left with Jesus? What prevents us from coming back to him day by day to receive what we really do need? You see, in our first Bible reading, Paul talks about good things that he's experienced in life, but he says, you know what? I now consider them rubbish for the sake of knowing Christ and all he gives me. He presses on towards the goal. Paul encountered Jesus. It turned his life around. And his priority was now to share Christ with others. Most of us, if we're honest, don't respond like that. We pick up our water jar and go home with it. But Paul says, consider it rubbish, even if it's good. Money is good, food is good, grandchildren are good, all these things are good. But Jesus is better. What's your water jar? We're going to have a time of silence. I want just to close your eyes. Picture you going to that well with your water jar. Whatever is in it, whatever it symbolizes. Now discover Jesus at that well. And I want you to picture yourself walking away, full of joy, leaving behind your water jar and setting off do the work of Christ that he has called you to do. This is what it means to worship in spirit and truth, to walk away in relationship with Jesus. Father, we come with our water jars, with whatever is burdening us. Our worldly priorities, and we leave them at the well. You know all about us, and you still say, be my friend and go and worship me. Jesus, help us to leave our jars with you Help us to walk away free, to worship you in spirit and truth, and to witness to your glorious name.